Okay.
Visit us online at www.thehype73.com.
Hey, what's going on? It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are live right here at the Hype 87.3, and we got Miss B's checking in. How you doing? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
We're live. Hello, are you ready?
Yes, I'm here, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Miss B. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, but I currently reside in Alabama.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, you definitely got a lot of different things going on. I know one of the things that I really want to touch on is the artist management, but, you know, definitely managing a label, acting, modeling, nonprofit, a lot of different things that we're going to cover. But let's just talk real quickly. You're from Detroit. What took you down to Alabama?
Well, originally I left from Detroit because I went active duty in the military.
Okay.
So that's how I originally ended up down south. I was in the military from Detroit, and then once I left the military in 2016, I retired in Georgia. Some career opportunities came here to Alabama, so I followed the opportunities. Absolutely. And I've been here maybe almost 4 years.
Okay. How do you like it out there in Alabama?
It's a lot. Lord in city life. The city I stay in, they really into sports. Like, that's what the city is mainly about, is sports and the colleges.
Yes.
But it's cool. The people are nice. They're friendly. Great hospitality. It's fine, I guess.
That is dope. I always hear good things about Alabama. That's why I asked. In fact, I interviewed an artist from Alabama today, and everybody I've always encountered from Alabama has been a dope vibe. So sounds like you've gotten real acclimated there. I love it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I want to jump in first and talk about the management side, because this is something that a lot of people need to hear. Let's, you know, talk about artist management. How did you get involved in doing artist management? Let's start there.
Well, I started being a manager in 2016. I originally started with one artist. She was also my first cousin, but, you know, she needed management to be able to, you know, move forward. You know, if she decides to take some kind of deal with a label, you have to have some kind of management.
Yes.
So my career started off with her. It followed us to Alabama. Which is how I ended up working for the record label. I originally went to the label as just a manager for my artist because she was in the midst of trying to get signed by the label.
Okay.
Being associated with the label, until they decided if they wanted to actually sign her or not, they seen my work ethic after about 3 or 4 months and made me the head manager.
Nice. Absolutely. You put in that work.
Yes, ma'am. So throughout the time, my artist, she had a lot of great experiences. Like when we were in Alabama, she had the opportunity to open up for one of Big Boogie shows.
Okay.
She also was able, she had an opportunity to be cameo for Where the Girls At, for Amy Luciani on Love & Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
She was, she's had an opportunity to work with quite a few people. Since I've been hired as the head manager of the independent record label that's located in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I now work with Too Hot Radio, with modeling, acting. I'm also a host for them when we do our events for the artists. I also work with Say Word Podcast. We collaborate for the podcast, for marketing, promotions, you know, to get people on the podcast. Networking, stuff like that. And I'm currently going back and forth to different interviews. Different auditions.
Okay.
For modeling and acting. So I've had a lot of great things going on. Honestly, since I've gotten to Alabama, the people that I worked with the record label, you know, they are very great mentors. They're very great at the job. They're very great at training employees and, you know, trying to help the artists with development and learning the business side so they can understand what's going on. So that's kind of how I was able to, I guess, elevate. They just seen the work ethic, and I went from just being my artist manager to working for the label.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to continue on in your path in this music industry of possibly managing other artists?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I enjoy my job. I love my job. I love helping artists. I love helping them with artist development. That's kind of the only thing, that's kind of the main thing I require for anyone to find any kind of management services from me, is that you have to be coachable. You have to be willing to go through artist development, meaning, you know, learning about the contract, learning about writer contracts, learning about the paperwork you're supposed to have when people ask you for features or to come to shows, learn how to read the contract, you know, learn about their percentages, learn about their royalties, because a lot of artists don't know that. They rely on their managers.
Right.
But then as time goes on, they start asking questions on why this going on, why this didn't happen. But if you're not taking the time out to know the information of your own career, because this is your career, we're just managing you.
That's right. Absolutely.
So as an artist, I just believe in helping the artist understand their career, what they're getting themselves into. You know, I'm very strict on my artists reading their contracts. I'll tell them to send it to an attorney. Just because I read it, this is still your career. A lot of artists, you know, they lean on management to do a lot. But in the end goal, a lot of them have questions or wonder why they didn't get paid or, you know, why certain things are going on. So that's what I kind of do. I try to help the artists not be blindsided. You know, I teach them about how to get their music on BMI and stuff like that. So I really actually try to help the artists. But you have to be manageable. You have to be able to be, you know, coached and, you know, help build your career. And a lot of artists, they really want management to do everything.
They absolutely you know?
So,
do.
Which is okay, but by being your career, your manager is responsible for making sure they have your best interest at heart, which means that our first thing is to make sure you understand what you're signing.
Right. Absolutely.
And you can't understand if you didn't read it.
That's right. And you and I both know a lot of these artists don't read anything.
they'd be so, you know, I don't really think it's intentional. I just think that they'd be so excited about their career and being able to go on stage and perform that the rest of the legal aspect of everything of them being an artist, they really don't think about it. They're just thinking about, hey, I'm having fun. I'm on stage. I'm doing what I love. But later on, if you're having taken care of paperwork that requires you to get paid, you're not going to get paid.
Right. That's absolutely right. They have to start with the basics and the fundamental and learn the business because it's not all up to the managers. With that being said, let me ask you this, and the artists need to hear this. What would you say is the biggest misconception about an artist manager?
The misconception is that we're required to do 100% of everything for your career because we're not. Our job is to... Well, this is how I present myself as a manager and how I think other managers should do as well. You know, as a manager, when you're managing entertainers, your job is to make decisions that's in the best interest of your client. So if you know your client has not read his contract, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of bad on the manager not to ensure that the artist understands what's going on.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the artist is going to blame you if anything goes wrong.
That's facts. That is absolutely
so. So the misconception is artists are thinking that managers is responsible for everything, or we're not. A lot of artists think that managers are required to invest their own money into artists. They're not.
No.
You know, there are managers out here that will invest in their clients, like myself, under contract. But a lot of artists, you know, they just want to sing, they just want to rap. But then when things don't go right, they blame the manager. It doesn't all fall on the manager.
That's
right.
It's
your career as well.
Yes. You are absolutely right. And I'm glad that you shared that because these artists that may be tuned in or hear this later, they need to hear that. The other thing in reference to artists, there's so many independent artists out here that are coming out every single day. When, in your opinion, when should an artist start seeking management?
if you're an artist and you're really thinking about taking your career serious, there are artists that, you know, deal with their own career. You know, I wouldn't say that management is very necessary, but it is if you don't know the business side of being an artist. I would say as an independent artist, if you're serious about your career, then if you know that you're not able to handle all of the jobs at hand as being an artist, managing yourself, you need to seek management immediately.
Yes.
Especially if you're trying to take your career serious.
Right. Absolutely.
But if you're capable of doing it yourself and you're capable of booking yourself, you're capable of knowing how to send contracts to people when they want you to come to shows, if you can deal with all that stuff, you can make sure your money is right. You can make sure, you know, you can get your own bookings. You really don't need no manager, but a lot of artists do.
Yes.
A lot of artists do need management. Because they don't know half the stuff they're supposed to know as an artist.
Right, right. Absolutely. But they also at the same time have to be willing to put that work in. You know, like I've always, you know, I've had a lot of artists who have no motion. They aren't doing nothing. Ask me to manage them. I said, well, you don't have anything for me to manage because, you know, you're not even showing me that you're willing to put in the work, which lets me think I would be the one trying to do all the work. And no, like artists, you got to be out here hustling to get someone like Miss B to want to, you know, take you on as a client. Like you said, learning the business, going through artist development. That's all important.
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, if you get management and they don't care enough to tell you to read your contract, if they don't care enough to, you know, to tell you to make sure you have a contract before you do a feature, before you go do a show or any of that stuff, then that's not the manager for you.
Yes.
A real manager that cares about an artist's craft is going to do whatever they can do that's within the best interest of their client to get to the next step in their career.
Right.
So if a manager don't make sure you read a contract, for instance, if a label say, hey, I want to sign a deal with you, it might sound good. The numbers might sound good. But if you don't read it, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. All you know is you're getting a lump sum of money.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of artists get so excited because it's like, oh, they're going to give me $40,000, $20,000, $100,000, $1 million. Yes, but that advance they're giving you, you have to pay that back.
That's right. That's not free money.
Right. So if you're not out here promoting yourself, marketing yourself, if you're not selling out shows, if you're not trying to sell tickets to your shows, if you're not making yourself known as an artist for the public to see or know who you are, how do you expect for this label to get their money back?
Right.
That is why a lot of artists get stuck in contracts that they can't get out of because the label has not made their money back.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Those are gems you're dropping right now. So I hope any artists that hear this take heed to that because she's giving you some very valuable information that every artist on the rise needs to know.
Yes. So, you know, that's why a lot of artists get stuck in contracts with labels, mainly because either they didn't sign the contract, you know, or they didn't fulfill their obligations. If someone gives you money up front, a bonus, a sign-on bonus, or whatever that is, you know, in advance on your career with their record label, they're expecting you to make sales. They're expecting you to get your streams, your sales, your shows. They're expecting you to do whatever you can to build your brand, not just for yourself, but for them to make their money back plus the profit that they should make from, you know, giving you the money up front.
Yes.
And when an artist has not repaid the fee, even if your contract was for 5 years, if you still owe the label, they're not letting you out of your contract.
No, that's facts.
And a lot of artists don't understand it.
Right. Absolutely. And they start blaming the label for why their situation's not good. But you can't, like you said, you can't always blame the manager. You can't always blame the label. The artist has to be willing to put that work in.
It's your career.
It's your career.
It's your career. It's your name on the line. You're the one look crazy in the end. You can blame everyone else, but it's your career. Why didn't you know?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's jump over to Too Hot Radio. When can we catch you on air with Too Hot Radio?
Actually, I had an interview with Too Hot Radio a couple of days ago. My interview should be out on Too Hot Radio under Miss B. That's my brand name. So I was on an interview with there. It should be, the full interview should be out. It was like an interview, an autobiography of my life where it led me up to me wanting to start a nonprofit and help the community and stuff. But I'm with Too Hot Radio all the time. I work with them. It's a platform that I actually work for. work with. You know, I started off as an, originally, I wanted to have radio with one of my artists so that they can go to one of the events to see if they wanted to be involved with that platform as an artist. But then, Too Hot Radio had other opportunities like modeling, acting. You can be an intern, you know, to, eventually earn your way to get paid jobs or, you know, get experience in different training and stuff. So I signed up for all the programs that they were offering to help, you know, build my brand. And it's been going well. I go to all the events. I'm one of the hosts. I am also one of the judges that judge content and music. When we do events, I judge the performances as well. But we work with Too Hot Radio a lot. You know, they have us going through a film and production training course where as long as you pass the final exam, it helps you get into, you know, jobs and stuff for production and film.
That is dope. That is dope. And it was Princess with the Reel that you sat down with and did the interview, right?
Yes, ma'am, and and Princess with the Reel is the same one that mentored me about all of the programs that they offer, and that's how I got involved with modeling and acting. I always wanted to do it, but Too Hot Radio kind of influenced it. They're very great people to work with. They're great mentors. You know, they have no problem with helping you with anything, building your career if you're with their platform. They're awesome. Princess is awesome. The whole platform is awesome.
Definitely. I agree. I've known Princess for a while. She's definitely super awesome. Now, before you got involved with working with Too Hot Radio, were you actively pursuing modeling and acting, or is that something that you really jumped into more once you connected with Too Hot Radio?
I'd always wanted to get into modeling and acting. But like I said, once I left the military, I went straight into management for my first artist. So it was kind of like, you know, I had just got out the military. I was focused on her career. All those stuff I wanted to do when I got out the military. But, you know, although she's my artist, she was my little cousin. So, you know, I've had a chance at my career. I went to the military. I was able to travel. So my little cousin is younger than me. I wanted her to be able to experience being successful in life and doing things that she wanted to do. She don't have a lot of help, a lot of mentors. So as our big cousin, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm a manager. I'm going to help you, you know, get to the next step. So that's what we were doing. I do not manage her anymore. After about maybe 2 months ago, there were some things that happened within our family. It kind of re-traumatized her. My father passed away the same way her mom did when she was a toddler. And it just kind of brought up traumatizing, you know, stuff from her childhood or whatever. And, you know, she just needed her space, which is understandable, yeah. You know. Yeah, so we're not really working together at the moment, but it's because of a recent death, to be honest, and we're related.
Yeah, understood. Absolutely. I know having a death in your family, someone close, it can take a toll on you, and it takes time to heal from that. You have to take time to grieve.
Yes. She still does, you know, work. She just dropped a couple of new songs. Although, you know, I'm not currently managing her. She is still working. She's still dropping music. So, you know, I wish her the best of luck. Even if she chooses that she wants to move on with her career with new management, I wish her the best. I wish her best with her endeavors as a music artist and whatever else she chooses to do.
Absolutely.
You know, so, it's fine. Let's see. I always be with Too Hot Radio every event. I also work with Say Word Podcast. I kind of collaborate with them with marketing, promotion, you know, and doing content for them and also promoting rights to have people come on the platform for interviews.
Yes. Are they located in your area?
Well, actually, the podcast is actually like a traveling podcast. So this is a celebrity podcast where we go around and we interview all the celebrities. We just left Drink Champs about a month ago. This past weekend, we just left Atlanta. We were interviewing Trey Chaney. He was on The Wire. And a lot of more other celebrities. Like I said, we just left Drink Champs. That's what they do. They're like a traveling podcast. They'll go where the interviews are. You know,
that.
But they interview celebrities, rappers, singers, actors, they entrepreneurs, they really interview everybody, but it seems like a lot of celebrities be on there.
Okay. Yeah. That was going to be my next question. So independent artists have an opportunity to get interviewed by them as well.
Yes. So if anyone that wants to be on their platform to get their brand out there, they interview most of the people, if you want to say, well, a podcast or on my page, you can see that most of them are well-known celebrities.
Yeah.
But he does, he interviews everyone, entrepreneurs, NBA players, soccer players, baseball players, artists, people that own businesses. He interviews everybody.
Yes.
It's just that all of the celebrities love the podcast, so he has more celebrities than anything on there.
Understood. Understood. Absolutely. Now, on the modeling side, what are you looking to do with that path, with your modeling career?
Well, I hope to go pretty far with it. I am one of the, I was chosen to model during Swim Week in Miami, Florida in July.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would be the first time I guess, professionally modeled.
That's dope. Congratulations.
Thank you. I also am going to Raleigh, North Carolina on April 5th. For a, it's a second round because I passed the first round. It's like a audition for a main part as a mother in a movie. I went to one. I move forward to the next round. So on April 5th, we do the next round of auditions. And then I guess they choose who's playing what character. And if you move forward, you go to production.
Okay. Okay. Will this be your first time appearing in a film, or is that something that you've done already?
No, I've been cameo and like music videos for artists before, but, that was also right after I left the military, cause of my other artists. I knew artists and people that was in the music industry already. So once I started working with her, people I knew that was into music already, they were working with her. They were bringing her in as cameo in a music video to get her face out there so people can start getting used to seeing her.
And would short films, series, full-length films, all of them interest you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I love horror would be fine, family movies, family shows, game shows. Like, I'm interested in all of it. I enjoy doing new things. I enjoy traveling, so if I have to go somewhere for a production, that doesn't really bother me because I love to travel anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an opportunity to also spread awareness for other things that you have going on, such as your nonprofit, yes, which is for at-risk family and kids. Let's talk about that. How did you found the nonprofit, and you know, what was the motivation behind starting that?
Well, as a child, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and also a small city called Highland Park, Michigan. And Highland Park, Michigan is about 7 to 8 blocks long, maybe 9. It's not really that many blocks. It sits in the middle of the east and west side of Detroit. When I grew up, we didn't really have a lot of opportunities growing up. We grew up in drug-infested neighborhoods. Half the schools were closed or they were being shot up. Sometimes we would go outside and we would smell decaying bodies. So they had to remove all the dumpsters out of the alleys. It was just a lot going on. So when I was about 15, I started taking care of kids. And like everybody in there did. And then by the time I was 18, I was, licensed through the state of Michigan to be a child care provider. So the state of Michigan was basically paying me to provide child care services for mothers or parents that needed assistance with their children while they went to work or school or went looking for work. And I loved it. I've loved taking care of kids since I was a kid, but I've went through a lot of traumatic events in my life, including my artist, kind of why she's kind of traumatized from my father passing, her mom passed when she was 4, which is my aunt.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of things going on. You know, a lot of the parents in the neighborhood, they were all in the same situation. They were struggling on welfare, and majority of them were on drugs, which left all of the kids in the neighborhood to fend for themselves or help each other. So as I got older, I just decided that I just don't want to sit back and just watch families get destroyed, kids get destroyed. A lot of times kids are removed from homes by CPS or DHR, and that's not a better place either.
Right.
I'm a foster parent. I've been a foster child. And I can tell you that that is not a place for a child. Mm. They may say that that is a better place. It is not. It is not. It's not. That foster care is not no place for a child to go. Half the time, they don't check on the children. Half the time, they don't do thorough background checks on the foster parents. You know, they don't. How, you know, if you take in the foster parent word for it, that they don't have guns in the house.
Right.
You walk around the house, haven't opened the door, haven't lifted the mattress, but you wonder why other foster kids have been killed.
Man. And then
these
that,
are the facts.
Yeah, absolutely. I've watched shows. I'm a big advocate for watching like Dateline and 2020 and shows like that. And I've seen many episodes talking about exactly what you're talking about, how, you know, when they get in the system in foster care, like oftentimes, you know, they're mistreated, they're not taken care of, they're not fed, they're malnourished, and it's sad. So is that where your nonprofit comes into place, is helping, you know, at-risk families and children that may potentially be in the foster care system?
Yes. What we do is we provide 3 hot meals a day for children that, you know, don't have really food at home. We don't ask any questions. You drop your kid off. When you come back, they're fed. They have clean clothes. They have, if they need pull-up wipes or anything, it's already in the bag. We do Christmas shopping for the kids, school supplies, school clothes. We give out hygiene products. Just about anything a child needs. If a parent needs help, we try to assist finding them resources for employment or housing. Sometimes we transport the parents if they need assistance getting to work, because if you just started a job, more than likely you don't have any money.
Right.
You know, so we try to help with that. We help with emergency transportation with the children. We take care of kids that are autistic. They have behavioral health problems, that is traumatized from things that have happened. Children that are in danger of going to DHR or child abuse. Me personally, I just don't believe in DHR.
Yeah,
I am a licensed foster parent, and at no time have I ever got drug tested.
Mm. Wow.
I started being a foster parent 3 years ago in the state that I am in, and I have never taken a drug test.
Wow.
But I've had foster children in my house. Luckily, they were my siblings.
Yes.
That I was saving from the system. But seeing the process of how you place children in homes, they're not doing thorough checks. They don't search on home like they're supposed to. They don't. They say, do you have guns in the house? You say no. They don't even walk around, open doors and doors to check.
Wow.
They'll check to see if you have food. They check to see if you have heat. They check to see if you have hot water. They check to see if the child has a bed to sleep in, a dresser, and clothes. And they open a refrigerator to see if there's food in there. That is it. And you're required to have a fenced-in yard. And if you decide to get a pool in your yard, then you have to get water sports training, which I have, for the foster kids to play in the water. Otherwise, you cannot have it. I haven't taken one drug test. What if I was on drugs?
Right, right. That is crazy. They definitely need to do better due diligence when placing these kids in these homes.
This in every state. In any state, if you ask anyone you know that is a foster parent, have they ever taken a drug test? Unless someone insinuated what made them insinuated that they thought they were using drugs, I can guarantee you that no foster parent in no state has taken a drug test unless it was a complaint filed.
Mm. Man,
you wonder why kids are going into the system, getting beat, getting molested, getting raped, getting killed.
It is sad. That is sad.
Yeah. And then they bring the kids here. They don't check on them. Half the time they lose your kids in the system and don't know where they is, lose records. Like, yes, so my program is to prevent children from going into the system. My program is 24 hours, it's 7 days a week. We help anybody, anywhere. Yeah, it's local for our community, but if people need clothes or they need assistance or they need resources for employment, we help everyone. It's just that we're local in this community, so this is where we directly help people. But we'll help anyone.
What is the name?
It's just going to help you save your child.
Yes, absolutely. What is the name of your nonprofit?
It's called Mickey Lynn Family and Community Outreach Incorporated. Okay. You can Google it. It's going to pop up. We also have a Facebook page where all of our little angels, we post them on there. Sometimes their activities, if they're having lunch, if they're having breakfast. Sometimes they want to do videos and sing ABCs to, you know, their followers and stuff. We do that. The kids, they love it. They love being able to, you know, go on their page and sing and say hi to everybody. They love it. So we created a page for the kids to, you know, be active, and the parents is able to see what we're doing. The community is able to see what we're doing. During the summertime, we did a food supply giveaway that should be on the page. And we also provide affordable child care. That's through the nonprofit organization. The child care is 24 hours a day. We offer affordable child care 24 hours a day for $150 a week.
Oh, wow.
It comes with free meals, full course meals, not the snacks they give at daycare. It comes with diapers, wipes, pull-ups. If your child come with an empty diaper bag, they won't leave with an empty diaper bag.
Wow.
We make sure they're safe. We travel.
Oh, we got disconnected, everybody. We're about to get her right back on the line. Stay tuned. Let's try to get her right back on the line.
Hi, you've reached Mrs. Green.
Well, let's see if we can get her back on the line. It's going to her voicemail. Oh, I don't know if she lost her signal or if her phone died, but we're getting straight to her voicemail. We'll give it just a moment and try back again. Shout out to everybody tuned in, checked in right here at the Hype 87.3 in ATL. We have Miss B checking in. She does so many different things. We're going to try her one more time to get her back on the line.
Hi, you've reached Mrs. Green.
I think maybe her phone died, so, you know, we may have to continue this at another time if we can't get her back on the line. We'll try her again in just a moment. In the meantime, it is your girl, Tampa Mystic. You can follow me on all social platforms right here at the Hype 87.3. Let's try her one more time.
Hi.
Okay, so we're getting her voicemail. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys her social media so you can make sure you follow her and get in tune with the nonprofit that she has going on. You can follow her at Miss B's, MSBEES _ management on social media. So make sure you guys tune in with her to see everything she has going on. Hopefully she, let's try one more time to get her on the line. And if not, you guys make sure you follow her on social media.
Hi, you've reached Mrs.
Okay, so I think her phone may have died. I think she's calling. Hello?
For my other one, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I had just started giving out your social media and everything because we're about to wrap up anyway. So,
okay, cool.
My last question I did want to ask you, if there's anybody that is interested in donating to your nonprofit, is that an opportunity that you give?
Oh yes, ma'am. We had a nonprofit from Georgia that donated to the families here. They donated a bunch of hygiene products, clothes, shoes, coats. We accept all donations. Don't think that it just has to be money. If you want to donate stuff for them to learn, clothes, diapers, maybe if you want to donate like interview clothes for the parents, anything that will assist a family in being successful and assist a child in, you know, growing up in positivity, having resources to be productive in society. You know, it's not all about money with us because yes, everything we do out of pocket anyway.
Yes.
But if there are people that want to help, you're more than welcome. You can DM me on Miss B's _management on Instagram, which is MSBEES _management. Or you can find our page at Mickey Lance Family and Community Outreach Incorporated, which is on Facebook. And you can also Google us. It'll come up.
That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, and you know, everything that you have going on. You know, it was definitely great connecting with you fairly recently. You came out here to Atlanta, and I definitely look forward to working with you more. So thank you for sharing your story with us tonight. We appreciate you tapping in with the Hype 87.3.
Thank you. And I appreciate the opportunity to let everyone know about our program, what I do, and hopefully we can get some more help for these families out here.
Absolutely. What you're doing is absolutely amazing. Like, I just want to absolutely praise you and commend you for what you're doing, because, you know, you have a heart of gold. Not everybody would do what you're doing. And I just absolutely love that. So, you know, I want to thank you on behalf of anybody that you're helping. You know, we appreciate you, people like yourself who are out here truly giving back and doing it just, you know, out of the goodness of your heart. That is amazing.
Yes, ma'am. I love it. I love all the little angels. I love the smiles on the parents' faces, knowing that their children are safe. I really enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, once again, we appreciate you checking in with us tonight. Tell us one more time your Instagram, where they can follow you at.
My Instagram is MissBees_Management. It's MSB2ESS_Management. And on Facebook, it's Mickey Lynn's, LYNN is Lynn. So Mickey Lynn's Family and Community Outreach Incorporated. If you have a problem locating us on Facebook, you can Google us. It'll pop right up.
I love it. Well, thank you again for checking in with us tonight. And I'll definitely be talking to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a good night. Thank you, everybody who tuned in, checked in. I do have another interview coming up in about 7 minutes. So stay tuned.